Off the Ball, GAA.
We just need to keep pushing forward, and the games that we have lost, we've only lost very narrowly by a point or 2 points in the last couple of years, and we just need to stick with it because we have been so close.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Hello and welcome along to Thursday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up today, Liverpool were beaten 2-0 by PSG in the first leg of their Champions League quarter-final, but this is the beginning of the end for Arne Slot. Barcelona's Champions League dreams hang by a thread after they were beaten 2-0 by Atletico Madrid, and Troy Parrott will look to continue his European journey with AZ Alkmaar in the Conference League tonight. But first, Liverpool have it all to do to avoid being knocked out of the Champions League by PSG for the second season in a row. Arne Slot's side were beaten 2-0 away to the holders last night in the first leg of their quarter-final. The Liverpool boss changed his formation and went with a back three. His side didn't have one single shot on target in the game.
Of course, that's not the plan. Of course, you think you can do better, and when you press them high, you can force them to mistakes. But I think we were in survival mode for large parts of the game. Paris Saint-Germain was the better team, but we didn't give up, and now we can bring the tie back to Anfield.
Arne Slot defended his decision to leave Mo Salah on the bench for the full 90 minutes. He says there was no point bringing the Egyptian on because they'd no chance of scoring.
Mo has so much qualities, but for Mo to be 20-25 minutes defending inside his own box, I think it's better for him to save his energy for a lot of games that are coming up in the upcoming weeks.
PSG boss Luis Enrique says his team can now play Premier League opposition because they're not reliant on set pieces. Desiré Doué and Kvaratskhelia scored goals from open play. Luis Enrique has praised the creativity of his team.
We try to play the best football. We try to have fun with our supporters, trying to show them the way we play its offensive way, trying to create superiority in every part of the pitch. And that's our idea. That's our mentality.
Arne Slot was already under massive pressure with Liverpool scrapping for a top five finish in the Premier League. It doesn't help that former champion League winner with Liverpool, Xabi Alonso, is available after his departure from Real Madrid in January. And on Thursday morning's Off the Ball breakfast, Spanish football expert Graeme Hunter joined Ger Gilroy and Michael McCarthy. And Hunter says if Alonso did get the Liverpool job, he would benefit from an entirely different situation to the one he had in Madrid.
Luis Enrique potentially began the end of the beginning of the end for Arne Slot, which leads people to wonder about whether or not or how quickly Liverpool will move to get Xabi Alonso in. The bookmakers have decided that that's almost a done deal, and it was interesting that they went to three at the back last night and maybe showed the powers that be what the gaps are in a squad that we might play three at the back next season, which maybe makes it easier for them to hire Xabi Alonso and go, actually, we know exactly what we need in this squad. Is Xabi Alonso the right man to fix that?
Well, first of all, let's be clear that I think he only played three at the back for Madrid twice. It became, you know, his signature during, particularly during the first season at Bayer Leverkusen. It's not something he's addicted to if the personnel aren't right. And I'd be honest and say that I don't know sufficiently well what Liverpool's personnel is going to be like. Is Andy Robertson staying or not? So whether it's Alonso or not, does that automatically mean he's playing three at the back? I'm not sure it does.
Okay.
He'll use the resources the way that he sees fit. Look, I think the situation at Liverpool is wholly different from what he encountered at Real Madrid. He had fewer defeats than Arbeloa's had. Arbeloa's had more games, and the amount of defeats are now bigger than Xabi Alonso's. But he's changed the mood. Xabi Alonso would come into a situation, a club, where it's not presidentially run, where it's not a 79-year-old who's got whim, almost Trump-esque power of decision-making and slight, and this is what I want. He'd come into a pretty well-run, pretty well-backed organisation with players who I think would still look at Xabi Alonso and say two things. He's the guy who powered this club to a Champions League final win. And this is the guy who, with Leverkusen, played devastating football and won Leverkusen's only Bundesliga title in their entire history. He'd come in and be treated differently and looked at differently. And when he imposed training video sessions about analytics, about how we play, how they play, he'd get attention. which he didn't at Madrid. There was such a culture at Madrid, they were like, well, geez, I'm bored by this. You know, well, this is hard. What? Will you stop? And I don't think people at Liverpool do that to Xabi Alonso. So clean slate is all I'm saying. A talented man, an energetic man, a man with huge amounts of knowledge. Not necessarily, he's still on a learning curve of how to treat a squad, how to engage a squad, how to, maybe the better word, sorry, to reach for is to convince a squad. He did it at Leverkusen where they owed him. The power seat was Xabi Alonso. Extraordinary for that squad, extraordinary for that club, even before the trophies came, to have him. And that clip, that meant that everybody was paying attention, everybody was on board. And it was a virtuous circle about, well, yeah, it's hard work under him on the training ground and in the video room. Look, we're winning. So does he bring some of that to a Liverpool side, which I think are pretty wounded right now and are patently dipping without the Klopp effect? I think there has been a dip under Slot, not just results or performances, but in terms of that momentum about we believe our leader is great, all that kind of nonsense. So would you take a bet? I mean, that's nice, both of you asked me. Would you take a bet on Xabi Alonso right now if you had to, either of you?
Yeah, I probably would.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And remember, you can tune in for your Sporting Breakfast Fix and Off the Ball Breakfast on the Go Loud app and on YouTube each and every weekday morning from 7:30. Meanwhile, Barcelona boss Hansi Flick questioned the focus of the VAR after his side lost 2-0 against Atletico Madrid in the first leg of their Champions League quarterfinal. First time in 20 years that Atleti have won at the Nou Camp. But their defender, Mark Pubel, touched the ball with his hand in order to take a goal kick. The ball was already in play. Flick was furious they weren't given a penalty.
When the goalkeeper starts the game and the defender stops him with the hand and then play again, it's for me a clear red card, or double yellow, and there's a red card and penalty. And maybe it changed totally different.
Julian Alvarez scored a free kick after Pau Cubarsí was shown a red card for Barca for preventing a clear and obvious goal-scoring opportunity in the first half. Alexander Sorloth scored in the second half to double Atleti's lead before next week's second leg in Madrid. On the football show last night, St. Pat's midfielder Chris Forrester was in studio with Owen Sheehan and Arthur O'Dea, and he explained why he loves watching Atletico Madrid and not Arsenal.
I don't like seeing Arsenal do well. I don't know for some reason. I don't know where it stems from, to be honest. Just have them teams, don't you, I suppose. That's the thing, I wouldn't be a massive fan of Man City, but I'd rather see Man City win the league for some reason, because, you know, it's kind of like the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. I don't know what it is, but I want them to ball. But I love watching them play. I love watching animated they get, everything about the place. It's just electric.
This is an interesting case study. Why are Atletico Madrid more adored than, say, an Arsenal?
I don't know.
I don't want to linger on them too much. I'm sick of talking about them. But like, what is it about Atletico Madrid that makes them sort of lovable?
I think it's just because mainly you see them on the Champions League nights, and you know you get to watch Arsenal a bit more. So you always have like views on Arsenal.
Whereas if you were watching Atletico week in week out, you'd
probably be under the same opinion. But I just love them on a Champions League night. The whole bench beyond the pitch, it's crazy. And Simeone doing whatever he does, his actions are comical. So
I guess they feel like an underdog as well in their own league, and even more so in the Champions League.
Yeah, and I think he does that really well for them. I think he builds that mentality into the team, and you see all these players, they work hard for him. And I've seen a couple of interviews with the players and saying, if you don't run for him, you're gone, you'll be out of the team. So I just think he demands that from his team, and you know, every one of them will put their body on the line for him at the end of the day.
You can listen back to that now in your OTB football podcast feed. You can become a member and sign up at offtheball.com/join. Unai Emery says Aston Villa's history gives him a responsibility to succeed in Europe. They face Bologna in Italy tonight in the first leg of their Europa League quarterfinal. Villa have already beaten the Italian side in the competition this season, and Emery knows the club expects strong performances.
Aston Villa history is massive history in a lot of things, and one remarkable moment Aston Villa won the World Cup is something make us as well responsible, feeling we are in a club. He was successful in Europe through this competition.
Nottingham Forest boss Vitor Pereira says it's special to face his former club Porto tonight. They played the Portuguese league leaders in the first leg of their Europa League quarter-final, and it's away from home. Pereira won two league titles with Porto and admits those memories make this tie particularly meaningful.
Look, my smile. It's an honour. You know, emotions, a lot of feelings. I think, blue against red. and for sure will be a fantastic game.
Chris Wood is back in the Forest squad, having been out since October due to a knee injury. Elsewhere, Celta Vigo are in Germany to take on Freiburg. Last night it finished 1-1 between Braga and Real Betis in Portugal. In the Conference League, Troy Parrott will be hoping his AZ Alkmaar side can continue their European run. They take on Shakhtar Donetsk, who beat Shamrock Rovers in Europe earlier this season. That game is in Krakow. Meanwhile, Andrew Omobamadeli will likely be involved for Strasbourg in their quarterfinal clash. They face Bundesliga side Mainz in Germany. Crystal Palace will have to do without striker Eddie Nketiah for tonight's first leg at home to Fiorentina. He'll miss several more games as well. He suffered a hamstring injury in training just as he was about to return to action. Nketiah hasn't played since December, and Palace boss Oliver Glasner says he was so close to being back in the squad.
It looked like that everybody's available for tomorrow's game, and until 2 minutes before the ending of the session, and Eddie unfortunately injured his hamstring again.
Oh no.
And had to leave the pitch 2 minutes before the end.
And remember, our live League of Ireland commentaries are back this week. Off the Ball will be at Richmond Park for the meeting of St Pat's and Shamrock Rovers on Friday night. Kickoff is 8 o'clock. The build-up starts on Off the Ball on News Talk and the Go Loud app from 7 o'clock. That's about all we have time for in today's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. I'll be back with more tomorrow.
To unlock much more from the OTB football feed, sign up at offtheball.com/join now.